Right.
Rana, how do I look? Do you remember that show?
Was that a show? How do I look?
It was like on the Style Network, and it was where it's like some ex-soap star was the host, and it was given like three options, three different wardrobes for people who needed like a wardrobe change, like a wardrobe makeover.
Sure.
And then the person chose it at the end, and they had a big party with their family, and the family was always like, you look unbelievable. But it was one of those like Style Network shows that was like two pieces of cardboard and like a dressing room.
Yeah.
And they probably went to like, you know,
all they did was buy
strawberry.
Somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah, they went shopping for someone that hadn't been shopping in 10 years.
Exactly.
So anything they put, they give them a haircut, of course. They always give them a haircut.
They do.
Yeah.
But I just want, if they always give them a haircut that's impossible to maintain.
Sure. They give them some kind of a feathered long layer that involves a round brush blowout that no one is ever going to do.
Never.
As long as they live.
Yeah.
But speaking of makeovers, somebody got a little makeover. Are you doing some modeling? Is that modeling that
I'm doing the wave. Or is this the wave at football games? I'm doing the wave.
I don't think it goes this way.
Oh, you're right. It goes like this or something.
It comes across the stadium.
Oh, okay.
No, I guess you raise. No, you do raise your hands.
You do.
Yeah,
you like conduct.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that because these t-shirts, I just want everyone to know my man has sold so many of these now. I'm so proud. And I'm going to, it was either this or a sandwich board that I was going to have to walk down to the corner with.
Yeah.
So I chose the t-shirt.
Well, that's one of the two tees that I bought in order to support Harry's business.
Because, Rana, honestly, I'm always, you know me, I'm always in fear of getting papped out here. So, but now I encourage it.
Paparazzi.
But now I encourage it because I'm wearing this shirt.
Show right up to the camera, show the shirt.
Yeah.
Come on.
Harry's home delivered lobsters.
juggling two lobsters.
Exactly. Happy birthday, Mr. Lobster.
That is so cute. I have to say, you have it with the red ringer
and
with the navy blue ringer, and I think they're both fabulous.
Rhonda, you bought some?
I bought them for you, Brian. Those are the shirts I bought. Did you think Harry sent those to you?
Yeah.
No, okay. I sent those to you.
Thank you for supporting the business.
Am I living in an absolute warp of some kind?
I just assumed Harry had sent them.
I told you flat out I supported the business, that I had been feeling a little bad. I bought you two t-shirts. I wasn't sure of the color or the size.
But you didn't tell me you were buying Harry's t-shirts. I thought I was just going to get like a James purse or something like that.
You thought you were getting Welcome to Gap Kids, This is Brian, How Can I Help You t-shirts?
By the way, Rana, that wasn't a ripple. Talk about a wave. The comments I got, the messages I got of people being like, by far the most shocking thing you've ever said in your life.
People were dying. Somebody said on Twitter, I've been a Throwing Shade fan for 27 years and this has never come up, or however long the show's been on.
My friend Stephanie texted me. She was like, who I knew in college. She was like, hold on. When did you work at Gap Kids?
Oh, she wasn't shocked that you had a Coke problem. She was shocked that you worked at Gap Kids. That's the best part.
Oh, please. I did it like five times.
No, I know. Of course. You're not that type. But I love that you're completely decked out in Ask Rhonda merchandise.
Well,
I guess Harry's Marblehead merchandise, we'll call it.
I know Heidi said not to be too matchy-matchy ever, but let's face it. It's a good look.
Those
red lips and this red lobster.
Iconic looks. All very iconic looks.
Couldn't agree more, Rhonda.
When is our I Hat Rhonda and Brian mug coming out? That's my question.
I don't know. Although, they might be a hit.
When's this mug coming out? It's a better question. Yeah.
Honestly, Rhonda.
Yeah.
But I have to say that if we wanted to do an I Love Rhonda and Brian, now's the time because everyone's moving out of New York, so they don't love there anymore, you know?
Yeah. I know. Are they really moving?
Oh, sorry. I have not eaten a thing, Rhonda.
Are you having a bar?
I'm having a bar.
What sort of bar?
You would love these. It's
what
called,
is that bar?
You would love it. It's called...
That is quite a crinkle. It is so far from the microphone, I can still hear a crinkling.
Kirkland Signature Chocolate Peanut
Butter
Chunk.
Oh, no. That's Costco bar is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bring some over. You would love the cookies and cream.
Says who?
Well, I don't like them. So I just thought maybe.
Oh, you got a variety pack and you want to give me the cookies and cream. I'll tell you what I don't like. And this is a public service announcement that I'm doing today.
Okay.
I am furious. Okay. So I decided to venture out of my home today and support a local business. I decided to pick, you know, I love a quiche. Okay.
Yes, you do.
Because I'm going to indict this place, I'm not going to say their name because I want to give them a chance. They'll know who they are, and I want to give them a chance to redeem themselves. Because everybody in town listens to the podcast, of course. They're all waiting to see if they get noticed or mentioned or what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I always pretend I have no idea what they're talking about.
Rana, because we have Adam O'Byrne, we could blame everything on him if we wanted.
Well, that's, of course, that's his job as the producer, to be blamed for everything.
Absolutely everything.
And I also love that they act like they don't know that I know that they're listening. So they sort of, they slip. It's like when you see somebody you used to date and they just sort of say, and you think, oh, you've been keeping tabs. I say, oh.
It's like if someone walked up to Julie Roberts and was like, oh, so what do you do?
Exactly.
You know, it's like we all know what's happening here.
Let's not be those people.
Let's not do that.
Yes. Though it would be nice if when she introduced herself, she said, I'm Julia. It's nice to meet you. Instead of just assuming that people knew she was Julia Roberts. Yeah.
I feel like we give her a hard time on this show, Rana.
I think she deserves every second of that.
I love her.
And we don't give her a hard time. I give her a hard time.
That's true.
I give her a very easy
huge
time.
Fan.
So somehow in the middle, we're giving her a normal time.
You're right.
Which for a star is still a hard time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with this. What this has to do with is I picked up a piece of quiche. Now, I love a quiche, a French quiche, when it's done well. I haven't had a piece of quiche in I don't know how long. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go pick up a piece of quiche, see what's going on.
Sure.
When I tell you, never mind what's going on with the operation. Their protocols were in place. It was all fine.
No, but I know the place you're talking about, if it's the one you really like. And I'm not going to name it either. But it's the one not far from you.
When I tell you, they put a red pepper in their quiche.
Why is that bad?
There is nothing to me more desperate than cooking with a red pepper, a hot red pepper.
A hot, not like a bell pepper.
Yeah, red pepper. Not a chili, a pepper. And I want you to think about this for a second.
More desperate.
To me, you want to make your food instantly taste like airplane food? Put a red pepper in it.
Really?
And I don't mean Swiss Air La Première airplane food. Excuse me.
No.
I don't. I don't mean Lufthansa.
No, you're talking like disgusting business class.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Bottom of the barrel business class, where they want to add a little bit of color to the plate because they know the food is lacking some sort of a color. Or they do this with the eggs. They want to add a red pepper for a splash of color because it holds up to the saute better than a tomato does.
I mean, now that you're putting it that way, it's sort of akin to putting a piece of parsley by a steak.
Sure, though. I don't mind a piece of parsley.
No, me neither.
Who's it bothering? The pepper is bothering me, Brian. I think that's pretty clear. This is a public service announcement.
Is it the sight, the taste?
It is the taste. There is a lingering taste to a red pepper. People must know what I'm talking about. And I don't despise it. Look, if you're going to serve me a crudité with a fresh red pepper, I don't mind that. Yeah. It's all right. I don't mind a crunch on a red pepper. Right. But a soft, mushy, lingering, cloying red pepper that's doing nothing but taking up the flavor it absolutely takes over the flavor profile of whatever it joins.
And there's also a lot of water in a bell pepper.
Thank you very much.
So
if you want your quiche to curdle, put a red pepper in there. Right. Excuse me.
How you've turned this around on me.
And you're asking me, why put anything else in there? You want me to be able to identify the cheese or identify the kale or whatever? It's a lazy, cheap move.
Wow.
And this is supposed to be a distinguished bakery of note.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I can only put it down to the pandemic because I think it's hard to get the right sort of bakers and help. It's not hard to get the right ingredients at this time of year, but it's hard.
No, I guess not.
It's hard to get the right help, the right person to make the quiche.
So, did you say, now they've heard it. I was going to say, did you say anything, but you just did.
Not at the time. Not at the time.
Well, Rhonda, right. can I cheer us up a little bit?
Yeah, let's get into some housekeeping or some something.
Definitely, because it's
but that's my PSA, and I'm not really interested in all the people that are thinking right now. I'm going to write to Rhonda immediately and ask her what she thinks of a Muhammara.
What's that?
She thinks of, you know, I do love a Muhammara.
I really don't know what that is.
A Muhammara is something you find on a mezza platter. So it's generally made, if I'm not mistaken, with red pepper and maybe either almond or walnut. There's a nut in there. Mm. So it looks like it's one of those dips that looks like it's a tomato dip.
I know exactly
what you're talking
about. But
it's really a red pepper dip.
Got it. Yeah. So that's not for you.
No, I love a Muhammara.
Oh, you do? Okay.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
But what I'm not interested in is all the people that want to write to me now and tell me how much they love red peppers and how I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. I'm not interested in being corrected on the red pepper front right now.
I got to say, Ron, at the beginning of this, I thought you were wrong. I don't feel that way anymore.
Okay.
It did change for me.
What's going on? What have we
got?
Well,
I want to just share
some writing to us.
I wanted to share a little bit of better news, which is Ronna Reads.
Oh, yeah.
Runaway hit.
Through the roof.
Runaway hit. Can I read some of the reviews, Ronna?
You can. I just want people to understand what it is briefly, which is Ronna Reads is, if you can think of something more exclusive than me tucking you into bed, if you can think of a more exclusive service than that, then I invite you to write to us at askronna@gmail.com and tell us what it is. But it's for our Sauna Privileges members. So it's on our exclusive tier. It's not just the regular Patreon Carriage House tier. And it is a series of me reading a bedtime story to you right from my house in Marblehead and tucking you right into bed.
People are loving it.
Yeah.
User ESB says, 5 stars, excuse me, when Ronna read The Giving Tree, I was floored, loved it. Her accent is so homey to me and hilarious, which I don't know how you're going to take that.
What accent?
Right. Brian is the ultimate co-host. They're just such a lovely pair. Very exciting. So if you want to hear The Giving Tree plus more, patreon.com/AskRhonna.
We've got Giving Tree. We've got The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And we've got The Day the Crayons Quit. And there's more to come.
The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Yeah.
And also Long Distance Thieves. They said, too fabulous, excuse me, 5 stars. I just ordered coffee for me and my Brian. Although we live across the country from each other, it's wonderful podcasts like this that keep us laughing together and connected. Can't wait until we both brew a cup and gossip. Thanks for the smiles and sage advice. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, well, speaking of the coffee, I have a very quick thing I want to say, which is someone named Catherine wrote in, who happens to be a coffee lover and a scientist, apparently.
This is all I'm going to say. If she's not right, you have just humiliated one of the wisest women I know.
Well, I was getting my information from Remington, and that's why I really have to make good on my promise to do a few coffee videos and have a little coffee clatch with the Bixby boys and make sure that I am understanding everything there is to understand about coffee.
Of course.
But why is that so amusing to you? Because, or are you just happy you're getting away with eating your protein bar without getting in trouble?
Does this make it look any more appetizing?
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes it look like it's going to go out the way it came in. That's what that makes it look like.
Oh, great. You've ruined them for me.
You're an absolute Muppet today. What are you telling me? You're not going to eat it anyway? You just took another bite. So why did that make you laugh that I brought up the Bixby boys?
Because it's just you, Ronna. It just is. You're right. It's just that, like, you are going to find the absolutely perfect way to do the coffee. And it tickles me. That's all. You tickle me.
If there's something to know, I'm going to know it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Catherine apparently feels she's the same way. She's a scientist and a coffee lover. And she wrote in to say, because I did not say, by the way, that I keep my coffee in the freezer.
Right.
I said that people do keep coffee in the freezer.
See, you can't outfox this lady.
Yeah, you can't outfox a fox.
A fox.
Or a snow leopard. And what I have been using is those Fellow containers, which I said, which are those vacuum seal containers. Yes. The different brands sell them, but they pump the air out of the container where you're keeping the coffee.
Right.
And I don't know what Brian does for his coffee. He's never really mentioned it.
Well, I mean, I just keep it on the, I don't do anything special.
You
with
drink
it.
So much of it. You just leave the bag out.
Oh, I just open that bag, pour it down my throat, you know, and then rage.
I love the idea of you chugging a bag of coffee, just the grounds.
I did have too much today, that's for sure.
But anyway, she said we should not be keeping coffee in the freezer or take it, because when you take it in and out of the freezer, what happens is there's a condensation.
Sure.
Because it's freezing and then defrosting and freezing and defrosting, and that condensation, I believe, gets in the way of helping the beans deteriorate or whatever.
All
the
right.
moisture level.
Well, I'm not
you
sure
warm
about
and
how
cool them, it affects the moisture level, and the fluctuations damage the beans and cause them to take up this. I'll take a note on to take up other aromas from the surrounding environment, which we don't want. So that's like when you put something in the freezer and then everything comes out of the freezer smelling like onion.
Did you know?
Or coffee
that
in this case.
Some fruits do the same thing. This is a tip.
Let's hear it. What kind
Say,
of
for
fruits?
Instance, I think
you didn't
it's
wear
mostly
your fruit
stone.
T-shirt today.
I think it's mostly I didn't. I think it's mostly stone fruits, but I guess with peaches, if they're not ripe and you're ripening them on the counter before, say, you put them in the fridge or something, you can't put them near other fruits because as they're ripening, they release a gas that makes the other fruit go bad.
Oh.
I know. I had never in
so
my life.
So what are you supposed to do? Keep stone fruit in the fridge?
Or no, just like in a bowl separate from the
lemons
bananas and
or
the
whatever.
This and the that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just, so they're, it's really one bad peach spoils the bunch, not one bad apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And they give everyone else the what for in the meantime, you know?
Yeah. I let my peaches turn to a degree on the counter and then I put them in the fridge.
Right. That's
because
good.
Because I like them at a certain softness, and then I like to keep them there for as long as I
can. That's the right way to do
but
it.
But if you leave them on the counter, or if the other thing is what I hate, Bob used to do this when he would go shopping for peaches and plums and whatever. Mm-hmm. He would put them on the bottom of the grocery bag, or he would drop a bunch of potatoes on top of them, which bruises them. When they bruise, they have to be eaten immediately. Either that or they need to be turned into a puree for a stone fruit.
I know he was an ENT, but I'll say this anyway. When people say, oh, bagging groceries isn't brain surgery. Well, it kind of is.
Oh, no, I'm an excellent. You put all the heavy stuff on the bottom. You want to be careful that you could. And the other thing I have to do, it's very important to me. I say, no, dear, put all of my dairy things together, all of my colds together. Because when I get home, I don't want to spend however much time unpacking. And by me, I mean Yadvina.
Right,
she's got
course.
Other things to do.
Sure.
But if all the dairy and all the refrigerated items are in one bag together, much quicker.
Yeah.
We've got an Alaska update, I hate to tell you. These two.
Well, Rana, how could we not?
This is starting to feel like a real rivalry.
We started a war in Alaska.
Yes, we did.
Like, if they didn't write us back, I would have been like, wow, you two really gave up.
And so, now, you want to read this? Because while you're reading it, I'm going to look up. Because Ajant the Seal told us where he lives, and I don't know where I put it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. Well, I can't listen. He writes to me so often, I can't really share everything that he writes because I don't really have, he's not my only child, if you know what I'm saying.
Of course, of course.
But he did write to explain where he lives. So, well, you go ahead and read this one, and I'll find out while you're doing it.
Hello again, Ron and Brian. Y'all
again,
this
is the other guy, sorry. Yeah.
This is the other guy. So for those of you who don't know, he signed his last letter, The Alaskan Listener, and we were like, Arjan's going to truly dive into whatever fish hole he can find and never come back up.
His own ice fishing hole.
Ice fishing hole. There we go.
But then another guy wrote in, there's a third Alaskan listener.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
No, who I can't remember who they are, but go on. Okay.
Y'all asked for an update on the Alaskans. Currently, I'm reigning in Anchorage, Alaska.
Reigning is misspelled, by the way.
There's no G, you're right.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm reigning in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm assuming the other listener may either be here, Fairbanks, or Juneau. I'm sorry if I offended any other listeners from Alaska by saying I'm the Alaskan listener, but let's not kid ourselves. I've been a fan for too long to where I feel I can say that. I've been listening to this podcast since it started and throwing shade for over 3 years now. Also, the best episodes always involve Rana and Trixie Mattel.
Excuse me.
Throwing shade also really bettered my college experience and had me become more of an activist at a young age. In other news, I'm very sorry about the coffee cocktail. I knew when writing that I was going to hit a pressure point between you two. I've just recently purchased the Carriage House blend so you can put your minds at ease. I just really wanted something that would punch me in the face with caffeine, so that's why I went with the Turkish coffee. I'm very excited for the new coffee blend to arrive and see what things I can do with it. Love, love, kiss, kiss. Jaden, we got a name this time.
Jaden.
Well,
Jaden must be very young because he thinks listening to you for 3 years is a long time. How long has Throwing Shade been on the air?
God, 47 years or something since the Cold War.
Yeah. Well, at least 50 years since the Cold War. At least 50 years.
Yep.
Now, I'm not finding this, of course, but what I happen to know is that Ajahn is from... He's from the Kenai region because that's why he sent us the dip.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Just wanted to share an explanation of my cultural roots. I'm actually not Inuit or any related Pacific Eskimo group. People in Alaska still use Eskimo, even Eskimos. Long story. Who has the time? Nor am I part of any one of the famous totems, famous for their totems, for the totem designs that Brian would have seen with his good friend Rebecca on his cruise.
Oh, sure.
The tribe I'm in is part of the Dena Ina culture family, one that's been fairly marginalized, Russianized, and Americanized. Who cares? Nice. This is more information than I was looking for.
Well, I'm offended that he didn't say small boat tour. So go ahead.
But he did say, think of us as, P.S., we're culturally related to the Navajo, or Diné, as they say, and have many similarities in our languages. Think of us as code talkers on ice. I'd pay to see that show. Pardon me. Kiss, kiss. All right. Anyway, he's from another part. I want to say he's from Fairbanks.
So then I want to say that if this were Game of Thrones, which I've only seen two episodes of.
What did you call it again? Game of the Kings or?
Right.
Yes. Scooter Shot.
If this was Scooter Shot, one of them would, isn't there the White Wall?
The White Walkers.
So he would be the White Walker.
No, the Wall.
He's by the Wall maybe, or the North or whatever it is. And that's Argent.
Yeah.
And the other one's more of a city person, so that would probably be the... Who are the evil siblings who have sex?
The Lannisters.
He would be... So Jaden is a Lannister.
Yeah.
For sure. And Argent is a Snow.
Yes, that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just remembered. He's from Homa, Alaska.
I've heard of Homer.
Yes.
That's all I can say, though, but I've heard of him.
Up near Homa. That's where he's from. Yeah. And he was also just commissioned, pardon me, Ajahn, to do a piece of public art.
You're kidding.
Up there. No, it's some sort of...
Is it of us?
It's a trailhead. No, it's some sort of a trail. And then he also... Who cares? You know what? Too much. If Ajahn wants to write his own memoir, that's his business. Okay? I can't. And this guy, that was the guy that wrote to us that he had just made himself a Turkish coffee cocktail, which of course made me fly into a rage.
Furious.
Yes, because don't listen to this show and talk about other people's coffee. Just don't do it.
And finally, Rana, I just want to say that someone wrote in about with condensed milk thoughts.
This has been the summer of condensed milk for us.
So his mother used to make a lemonade pie.
Okay.
I think for some people, this isn't going to sound good. I think it sounds good. Frozen lemon concentrate, sweetened condensed milk, and Cool Whip. Fold together, mix in berries if you want to be healthy. That's what he said. Pour into a graham cracker crust and pop it in the freezer. Super easy and super sweet.
Oh, yeah. So that's like an icebox pie is what that is.
Love it.
Yeah. That does sound fabulous.
Well, okay. Rana, should we talk to...
Have we had any more? Here's what I want to know. We haven't really been talking to people about... reviewing us on iTunes, which is important.
True.
We haven't been reminding them to subscribe. They might just be listening to this. They might just go every week and hit stream, stream, stream.
Subscribe to the podcast. Please rate and review it. It helps us out so much. And
it really does, though, because that is some sort of an algorithm that affects. And so if you're trying to think of ways that you want to affect the show and help the show, please do that. Yeah. Obviously, you can buy the coffee at askronacoffee.com. That supports the show.
Yeah.
But with sort of forgetting the main thing, which is that we had a little flurry of activity where people started to follow Ask Rana on Instagram. And now it was sort of like, it's sort of like when people, there's a cause and everybody gives in the first 2 days.
Yep.
And then the people that say, oh, I'm going to do that. I just have to do this first. And
you're not going to do it unless you do it.
Well, those people have not done it.
Yeah.
And we need those numbers to climb because I need that blue check mark. I mean, I saw some guy that had a blue check mark the other day. I don't think he even had 3,000 followers.
I don't understand the rhythm or the reason or the wherefore.
I wanted to throw myself.
I'm sure, Rana.
Off the salt and pepper bridge. I just wanted to.
I don't blame you. So yeah. Please follow us on Ask Rana. Do it right now. You're probably listening on your phone anyway.
Yeah.
Just go to the at Ask Rana.
Oh, you're not on your phone? Oh, you weren't on your phone today? So you weren't able to do it because you weren't on your phone?
Come on.
And it would have taken one extra second to touch Instagram.
Literally.
Yeah.
Just search Ask
Rana. And there's so much fabulous content that if you're not following us on Instagram.
It's really well curated.
How would you have known that Brian and I did a watch along to the WAP video?
Correct.
How would you have known about Rana Reads?
Yeah.
Which
how would you know about the
lulling
lobster
men? People to sleep all over. How
Correct.
Would you have known about Harry's Home Delivered Lobster startup business?
And my commercial endeavors.
Your commercial's fabulous. That's on YouTube. YouTube.com/AskRana.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
okay. We have a fabulous guest today. I'm very excited.
I'm excited to meet this guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's fabulous. He's an old friend of mine. And I think he has some exciting news. I think he might have become a homeowner in the last couple of weeks. I want to ask him all about it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to it?
Let's do it.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Brian. Rana, you've done it again.
You know what? I have.
I just said you have.
Don't start an argument with me in front of company. Please.
No, I'm not. Forgive me, Langston.
It's okay. I didn't want to get in the middle of this, but I'm glad.
And here you are, right in the middle, Langston.
Now, Rana, I want you to say his last name because I know you're going to do it with your non-accent. Rana doesn't think she has an accent, so you can say it.
Well, who's to say what an accent is?
You know, Rana, I'm not going to have a freshman year discussion with you.
Well, I suppose if we were linguists, that would be an enduring conversation, an enduring philosophical conversation. Langston
Kerman
is our guest today.
Sweet music.
Fabulous stand-up. Langston, I happen to know, spent some time in Boston as a student. So
that's
he's
right.
heard Kerman before. He might even think that's how his name's pronounced.
Honestly, if you spend enough time there, everything sounds normal after a while. And like you said, what's an accent? Who's to decide?
Same.
It sounds beautiful to me.
Oh, what a guy.
Rana, I don't mean
this is my kind of guest.
Because he has an MFA in poetry? Did you know that?
Because he agrees with me so far on everything.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
The MFA is meaningless. It's the agreeing that holds real value.
It's absolutely true. Langston, tell me about this. Yeah, I hear you have a new podcast. And also, I want to know what your big comedy special was, because I was telling Langston, I was looking on his Instagram. It was so funny to me. He did a huge comedy special. And the only thing he could focus on was he couldn't believe he left his Fitbit on during the show.
I love it.
Well, first of all, I'm embarrassed to have worn a Fitbit at any point in my life. But I'm especially embarrassed to not have the know-how to take it off before a comedy special. But that was the comedy, the half hour on Comedy Central that
Amazing.
I shot a few years ago. And now I have a new podcast. It's called My Mama Told Me. It's about Black people and conspiracy theories. It's very fun.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's out now.
Yeah, it's out now. It came out this week.
Is
fabulous.
It anywhere you can get your podcasts? Is that
anywhere
the idea?
Anywhere you can get your podcasts.
When you say conspiracy theories, can you just explain to me briefly how it works, the show?
Yeah, so every week I sit down with a funny guest, a black person who's very funny. Or in,
it's got to be black, so it can't be Brian and I.
I'm so sorry, Brian.
Well, I'll do a little digging on my 23andMe, so we'll see if we can book me.
If there's even a drop of Ghanaian, you're in.
There's got to be an Ethiopian. I think my cousin married an Ethiopian Jew in Israel. I'll see if I can get myself certified.
Well, Rana, I don't mean to start anything, but the last time they did a DNA test on someone, that's how they found the Golden State Killer. So I don't know that you want to do that.
Sure, you Good might point. Be a murderer as well, and Good you point. You don't want to risk it. Maybe exactly. maybe it's not worth it to get
I've
on my podcast.
I probably left a little evidence in a couple of places that I wish I had. Yeah. So you have another black person on. There
yeah, and
I
then
said
we
it.
we pick a conspiracy theory that someone in our lives sort of told us about, and we unpack
that.
It.
It's
we
have some fun. So it's totally anecdotal.
Oh yeah, we do not treat this with any legitimacy whatsoever, which yeah. is part of the fun. And then I do a bunch of research to add to the mayhem. I like to dig even further into the potential
oh, that's
legitimacy.
Fun. So it's almost like an urban legend mm-hmm. where you say, well, where I grew up, there was this, using Bigfoot as an example, there yep. was a story about this. And then you say, well, that's interesting because this also came from, there used to be stories in this part
exactly.
of the country about blah, 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 blah.
And
so you're using that MFA.
Hell yeah.
And
yeah.
just to be clear with everyone, just so we get out of the way, you are anti-mask and QAnon pro?
Well, I'm anti-mask. I'm QAnon rising, if that makes
Got
sense.
I'm, yeah. I'm, I just wanted to be clear.
I'm working my way up into that space.
We're gonna get to that.
Now's
we're
the time.
Get to that.
That's right.
They won't officially confirm me, but I'll get there. I'll earn my keep.
It's just hard work and a lot of steps. So good thing you have that Fitbit.
Well, we do actually have a question about that today.
Should we start with it?
Let's start with it.
Let's do it.
Dear Rana, Brian, and guest. That's
me.
Langston Kerman.
Kerman. I love your tie-dye shirt, Langston. Where'd you get
thank
that?
You. Oh, I don't know. It's got Smokey the Bear on it. And,
I love
you know.
It. Tie-dye has been one of the nostalgia themes that have been very hot during quarantine. Everybody's
yes.
into tie-dye.
People are doing it with wine now.
Well, you can only drink so much. You
that's
know?
True.
And by then, doing it, I think Brian means going to socially distanced weddings and throwing red wine at the bride, which was something that
that's
we suggested
what I mean by tie-dye.
In an earlier episode.
That's right.
Several of my family members believe in the conspiracy theories that are being spread by QAnon.
Okay.
How do I thought... This is already a ridiculous question.
Should we explain what QAnon is for anyone
well,
who
we,
might not know?
Well, why don't we finish the question, then we'll
okay,
explain
all right, fine.
Where people can sign up for QAnon.
Okay.
How do I thoughtfully tell them they are batshit crazy so I can protect their children from learning or believing anything QAnon related? Sincerely, worried, .. just worried. P.S. I know we should all have a healthy level of skepticism, but this group is spreading a dangerous and violent message to millions of people.
Mm.
I wonder which family members.
Yeah.
Oh, does that change the advice you would give? If it's like a
question, actually,
the mom, do you give different advice?
Well, if it were like my brother or sister, I'd be like, you know that you're a total fucking moron. You know
right.
what I mean?
But sure.
If it were my parents, I would probably just be like, you know, I read, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I guess point them to articles. This is the deal with people like this for me.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel powerless talking to someone crazy. Like there's just, what would you do, Langston? What do you
well,
think?
Well, I find that the most effective way of going into this at this point is no longer telling people that they're crazy. They've been called crazy, which is part of the reason they are seeking this alternative information.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
a very
it's,
good point.
It's more effective to be like, I've heard something like that, and then introduce a completely real fact to them that slightly maybe enters into the conversation that they're having, but also like introduces a more legitimate explanation
so
for the things
I've heard
they think.
That
that's actually great advice.
I've heard that operating a pedophile ring out of the back of a pizza parlor, and you say, I've heard pizza is delicious.
Right. You say, oh, I've and heard edible. About these pedophiles. Oh, the pedophiles are terrible. And then you say, but this pizza place doesn't have any pedophiles. And then you guys move on and have a nice meal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you just great. Show them a better pizza place.
I think, and because so the whole thing with QAnon is that, right? That the Democrats are run by a ring of pedophiles is essentially it. And then they say something about the storm all the time, like we are the storm or something.
Well, I, oh, Rana,
no,
please.
No. Go ahead, please.
I think that it's not just limited to Democrats. I think that they believe that a person named Q, I believe, has like the secrets to the government.
Is exposing yes. government
secrets. Is
Got
exposing
it.
All of the dark, hidden secrets of the government. And specifically, Trump is tapped into that information. So yes. it's not even like they're like aligning so much with Republicans over Democrats. It's more that like the government as a whole is a farce.
Right.
And we need to like break down the truth that is being kept secret.
And is filled with devil worshippers and pedophiles.
Exactly.
Is part of it. Okay.
It's National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Uh-huh.
Was that the second one?
The Nicolas Cage series.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with Sean Connery.
Sure.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know whether he's in that. I don't think he's in that. It's okay. Nicolas Cage.
That's The Rock. He was in The Rock.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. The Rock's pretty fun, though. The one where he escapes from Alcatraz?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Nicolas Cage playing?
Nicolas Cage plays...
Sean Connery?
No. He plays... Oh. Well, maybe. I mean, maybe.
It seemed to me from the previews that he was.
On some level, they're all playing Sean Connery. Yeah,
I think
true.
In his heart, yeah. Nicolas Cage has always been playing Sean Connery.
I think anyone who ever saw Sean Connery play James Bond has been playing Sean Connery. That's right. Yeah. Whether he's Vin Diesel or the Rock, sure. or the actual Rock or whoever else.
They're all speaking in a Scottish accent at home. Yes. They're Sean Connery in their
They're
hearts.
All playing Completely. That alpha male. Mm-hmm. But QAnon, and again, this is what's so, I don't even want to say fascinating because it really isn't fascinating. It's just sad. But the thing that's so odd about it is I really think you tapped into something, Langston, when you said the reason that they're even saying this is because they're already mad and they've already run out of options when it comes to being told they were wrong about something. These mm-hmm. are people that want to feel like they're right about something. But
and by the way, it's easy to feel right about something when you can't. It's so outrageous that you can't prove that they're wrong. Like what they're so upset about is actually unprovable.
Well, these mm-hmm. are also not educated people. So these are people that feel disempowered or disenfranchised as part of the system.
And they're like, you're not better than me mentality. Like.
And that's why a lot of this is also sort of whether it is totally, under the surface or not, tied into white supremacy. Because mm-hmm. even though white supremacy feels like such a powerful concept and such a powerful way to describe the way that people behave, but it's also really just a very insidious feeling of disempowerment by people, which is people that feel truly that's the part that's even scarier than the KKK or
that
this
people
and that.
Feel like at least I'm white and you can't take that away from me or something.
They just, well, it's not even that they feel that being white is necessarily better. They just feel that their status is being taken away from them.
Yeah,
and so they need some way to feel powerful and have status again.
I think there's a fair amount of people in this country and for the most part, many of them happen to be white that were promised a lot of things, not literally, but sort of figuratively by the world that they're not getting out of whatever they think the world is. And so the response is, well, there has to be something sinister on the back end that's keeping me from getting the things that I deserve.
Got it.
Instead of just being honest and being like, oh, you didn't like work that hard. And also you're not that fun to look at, like nothing in your life.
And you've also spent 20 years voting for the wrong people and the wrong policies.
Yeah.
And so really what it is about an emotional response to that feeling of powerlessness and not getting whatever you were told you were going to get just because you were born and this is America and everyone's going to have, you know, and the streets are paved with gold and all of that. Mm-hmm. But not having enough either curiosity or education or sophistication to say, huh, who's the person that sets the policies? Who? How does that work? Do I want that? Does that help my life? Is it helpful to me if there's an affordable way for us all to get health care? Or could I win the lottery tomorrow and then I'm going to be mad if they take my money? I mean, there's so much uneducated voting going on for going back so long, and not to mention poor education about what really, how society is constructed.
Yeah, I think that's also the fascinating thing about the QAnon people is there, it's actually a lot of middle class sort of like moms and older parents who are sort of falling into this window. And to your point, it's not just a lack of education, but the wrong type of education that is pushing them towards like these weird choices.
People that feel left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now, I mean, it's like these multi-level marketing schemes. It really is.
Did any of you ever read any of the Left Behind series books?
I did not.
I read two of them. I grew up in an ultra-Christian conservative household, Langston.
Yeah.
Every Christmas, I got a Left Behind book.
What is a Left Behind book?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't?
No, tell me more. Langston and I are Eastern liberals. We don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, we don't. We're Eastern liberals. We don't know anything about
this.
The
Left Behind books, every single one has a huge quote praising the book from Kirk Cameron. Each one has. He loves these books.
Okay.
He adapted one to star in a movie. It's basically... In the Bible, it's all about revelations and how what the sort of who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell and who's left behind and who can make up for it.
Wow.
So it's this disaster series, but steeped in like New Testament, specifically like Revelations, like judgment of like who made it. Oh, you didn't? It's that. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Kirk Cameron really made a heel turn, huh?
Yeah.
As a person, he really did a flip. He really did.
He
was a bad boy on that show. Growing
he didn't swim a lap. He swam the ocean. He just was like all in every step of the way.
It is always interesting to see people that are famous or successful at a young age then often feel they go through some kind of crisis and feel they need a belief system or
because
something.
Because they weren't educated, probably.
And it is always interesting to see who turns to drugs or who turns to religion or who gets married at 17 and a half or who never gets married.
Mel Gibson, no matter what.
Yeah. Sure. Me. Listen, the guy makes perfect films. What do you want from
Langston,
me?
Langston, look, I just want to say...
He likes Apocalypto.
He is... I like a lot of his films. I don't like what he stands for.
Sure.
But I do find it hard to reconcile how much I've enjoyed.
She's seen Hacksaw Ridge 25 times.
Look, Hacksaw Ridge I can't stand. Hacksaw Ridge, to be honest, Hacksaw Ridge I couldn't get through. Mm-hmm. I thought it was absolutely awful.
It was what women want that put you over the edge, where you're like,
I don't necessarily like seeing him in a film, though that's not true. Year of Living Dangerously is one of my favorite films because Peter Weir is one of my favorite filmmakers. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, Apocalypto, it's hard to deny. Mm-hmm. He went down to the Amazon. He dragged a power cable into the middle of the Amazon and he made a perfect film. What can I say?
Rana, I'll say it again. He would not like you if he met you. Doesn't that count for anything?
No, he would absolutely like me if he met me. But what he would not like, he's one of those people who thinks, I like this Jew. I just don't like Jews.
That's fair.
Yes.
I also think that he at some point would say something mean about you in his car.
No
like
question.
That's his move.
He'd like you. He'd be very polite. You'd have an enjoyable time. And then he would say something very bigoted in the car. And then
absolutely.
Maybe somehow he butt dialed you in the middle of it and you get to hear it.
It would get back to me.
I think there's some sort of response in him, like an animal response that he hears a click of a recorder and is like, time to shine. And just spews craziness.
Well, that's because he's a star. The man has to be on camera. He has to shine.
He lives out loud. He lives out loud. But I have to, I will say, truthfully, I do not think he would like me if he met me, Brian. I agree. I think I would, I think there is a misogyny button that would go off in him in an instant. The second I opened my mouth and had an opinion, it would drive him crazy. I don't think he's really interested in women that have strong opinions. But it is a tragedy because he was a really gifted young actor and a complete star. He's a complete star. I mean, when you, really, when you look at a movie like Year of Living Dangerously, you can't, you just, all you can do is watch him. And he's a terrific actor. At least. Great. As a younger person, but
no, I mean, I would argue
just like Kirk Cameron, the same,
he's probably still pretty good at it. You just got to wrestle with everything else. And for some of us, it's not worth it.
There is not enough time.
And that tick, tick, boom is now in his face.
Oh yeah.
You see it now.
No question.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon was probably the last, that was probably the missing link movie. Where everybody said, oh, he's so good at playing a crazy person. No, he's a crazy person now.
He's not pretending.
Rhonda, what would you say to this person to tell their parents or their family, whoever it is?
I think that they're talking about siblings and they're talking about cousins probably because they're talking about children. Protect their children from learning or believing anything QAnon related. Honestly, I think this is so hard, but I think... It's such a sad moment, but there is a moment at some point where you say, there's nothing I can do. They're going to raise these kids whatever way they're going to raise them. The only thing that you can do is you can sort of present an alternative narrative. You can be an example of something else. And usually when people have crazy parents, even when they're really young kids, at some point they know, my mother's crazy and her siblings aren't crazy or this one's crazy and that something isn't adding up because it's not like that unfair. When they hit about 11, probably the concept of fairness and equanimity and everything else in the world, those things start to really make sense to you. Yeah. And you realize the inconsistencies in adults around you and you sort of start to connect that stuff. And there will, there may be a moment where one of these kids rings your doorbell at 16 and says, I live here now. And you say, okay.
Macaulay Culkin myself, and now I'm coming over to your house.
They're either going to totally stay inside the fold with this parent, or they're going to... By the way, this is who the parent is now, QAnon. They'll be selling Ginsu knives in 4 months, and then... 5 years from now, it'll be a different thing.
Oh, you mean they just go all in on some, whatever that belief system is?
They're not coming... You cannot bring a QAnon believer back, first of all, to a place of normalcy.
It would be too embarrassing for them. And also, it's, just you're already so far gone.
The only thing you can hope is maybe they're lonely and they start dating somebody else that has a different belief system and then they attach to that. But these are people that have a very soft center and are very lonely and are looking for a community. And that's what they've found here. And they're not real. I mean, even if you go an inch into these QAnon conspiracies, they really, none of them add up. And they're one of those things where people are just constantly reverse engineering facts. So if you say, well, Trump said he's not QAnon. He said he doesn't believe in QAnon, which by the way is absolutely not what he did. He's been ordering pizza and saying about the QAnon people.
He says they have a lot of love for this country.
There's
a lot of
good people on both sides. It's the same. I'll take any vote where I can get it. And I don't care who, and I'm not judging who's good and bad because I'm not judging myself on who's good or bad. I just care about power and staying in power, et cetera. But these people, if Trump came out and said what everybody would love him to say, which is, this is nonsense. It doesn't exist. Da, 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 da. Then the next day, somebody would say, that was so smart of Trump to say that because he knows the government is closing in on him. And so he needed to say that in order for Q, you know, Q told us that Trump knows there's another faction in the government. I mean, everything is nonsense.
Yes.
I have to say this.
So there is no argument to have and no unraveling of anything to do. The only thing you can do is just be a very cool, different version of your family if this kid decides to attach to that.
Start wearing sunglasses early.
Yeah.
Be chill. Also, I wanted to say, did you know that like something like only 2 or 3% of high schools even offer a government class anymore? Like it's just non-existent in most schools now. Like, oh, no one has any education on how the government works.
Were you, like the classes, you're not even saying like mock government. You're saying like literally no, they don't even teach
U.S. government,
you.
Civics. It just doesn't even happen anymore. So people really, it's not even really their fault, grow up not knowing what power they have, mm-hmm. how the Constitution works, and what the branches of government even are.
Right.
Which is wild. So, because it seems like the thing to beat this, like you both said, is like better education on things.
People are very lazy, also lazy and emotional. And they mm-hmm. just want to feel empowered in some way. And it's totally insane and dangerous. And this is just like the Tea Party was, though. All those people that you thought, is there any way that someone would vote these crazy people into office? And here it is happening. At least people are winning primaries. I mean, the House is always crazy anyway, but there's always a few in the House that you just think, where did these ones come from? But
I think that's my frustration, if we can shame the questioner a little bit. I think that's my frustration with the question, because I would argue that this person or these people in your family have probably demonstrated the potential for these kinds of behaviors well before QAnon became a thing.
Sure.
So like this is, you were meant to intervene well before a lot of this and you opted not to. And now you're like, hey, they're really wilding on the internet. And it's like, I don't know, bro. I can't really help fix what you let get this bad. Like a lot of this is behavior you could have stopped years ago, but you chilled because, you know, this one didn't bug you quite as much.
And you have to decide how much of that stress you want in your life in terms of these arguments. But I also don't think there's anything wrong if you're that sort of person with saying, mm-hmm. I just want you to know, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about what you actually said. I just want to like quickly go through what you said. So I just want to make sure I have it right.
You don't know how many times I've had that conversation.
There's a pizza place. And in the pizza place, children are being, while they're flipping the pizzas and putting the pepperoni on the pizzas, there's an extra room. I just want to make sure I understand how it works.
What they'll say to you, I've been down this road with people in my family over and over and over again. What they'll say is like, yeah, I do. I mean, it's like talking to a table. There's just...
Yeah.
So if nothing else, if you really are worried about these kids and you have the opportunity to be in front of them, which if you don't right now, you will at some point, you're welcome to, in a jovial fashion, introduce that counter argument so that at least the child has heard a counterpoint out loud. But I would not make it a hill to die on because there is nowhere to get to with this.
It's more
of a performance.
Hold a candy dish of like classic children's candy, like Werther's, lemon
love
drops,
it.
Like with black licorice.
Sure. The thing children really are looking
they
for.
They love it. And so just hold that.
Black licorice.
It's candy cigarettes and say, look, you have to choose it. Like, you know how you would a dog, if one of you had food and the other didn't, he'll run to the one with the food.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Tell the children, do you want some of this or do you want some of that?
Right.
But
it's that scene from Air Bud right at the end when the guy shows back up and he wants his dog back and the dog has to decide between the man who abused him and left him or the boy who taught him to play basketball, also in a possibly abusive way. But which abuse is Air Bud going to choose?
The fun one.
And the fun one, that's right.
The one with the ball.
The one that ruined his joints, but was fun.
Because he's a dog, so he just wants the ball.
The one that let him die and then replaced him with a different dog 2 movies later. Absolutely.
Okay, Ron, are you ready for...
Yeah, quick. You want to do this one? Or you go to this next one. Let's do this cute little question.
Which one is it? The first one? Sorry.
Hi, Ron and Brian. I'll just do this one. You'll do the next one.
Okay.
Hi, Ron and Brian, longtime listener, first time caller. Mm. I wanted to get my boyfriend some new kitchen gadgets for his birthday. In addition to the global chef's knife I just purchased, I was wondering if you had a favorite go-to meat thermometer. Thanks, Nicole. Mm.
Any meat thermometer tips?
I was just going to respectfully bow out. This guest didn't even, this questioner didn't even acknowledge me as the guest on the show. And
you're so right.
I knew this had nothing to do with me, and she was correct. I have no clue about meat thermometers.
This is your opportunity. There has been a lot of meat thermometer talk.
And oven thermometer talk.
Yes. But I mean, in the popular consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But Brian, I think you were saying you just bought a meat thermometer.
The best meat thermometers in the biz are thus.
I'm listening.
Okay. The first one is...
Is this according to you or according to Wyakutta?
America's Test Kitchen.
Okay. Mm. Oh, okay.
They
fabulous.
Test them all.
Great.
Three options for a meat thermometer.
Okay.
The first option is the ThermoWorks ThermoPen.
Yeah.
I don't have that one. That one's a little, I think it's like $150 or something. It's completely accurate.
They're surprisingly expensive meat thermometers. I don't know why.
The good ones are. But Therma makes, the one I have is the ThermoPop, which is like 90s cool.
I love the idea of a pop. Remember they used to put a thing inside of a pot roast or something and then it would pop when it was done?
Yes.
That's the meat thermometer. Is that not the meat thermometer?
No, it is. It is like
okay.
But it was like a piece of plastic or something.
It was a piece of plastic and it would bubble up and it'd be like, congratulations, your turkey's 50 degrees overheated, overcooked. But no, a meat thermometer is like literally a thermometer you put in the meat typically when it's done, and it gives you like an instant read on what the internal temperature is.
Okay.
Because chicken needs to be at least 165 degrees.
Exactly.
And if you want your steak perfectly medium rare, you want it at this temperature, and then it has to rest for 15 minutes, and it's going to cook a little longer when it does that. I mean, I use an old-fashioned meat thermometer. I use an actual thermometer.
Right.
So I put it in, and I stand there for 24 seconds while it rises to the...
Sure.
But it is not perfectly accurate. So... ThermoWorks, okay.
The ThermoWorks are the ones who really do the good ones. I have the ThermoPop because it's the less expensive one, and it's just as accurate. It just, the only thing with it, I guess, is that it doesn't have as many angles to read off of it. Like, the idea with the Therma thing is you stick it in anywhere, and you can read it from anywhere. You don't have to, like, crouch over to look at it. It's just clear as day. Whereas the ThermoPop, it has, like, really one side, which to me is...
That's how they get you. That's a big old scam. I don't need to... Who's reading their meat thermometer from 40 yards away?
Exactly. Could not agree.
Get out of here.
People fetishize this stuff. There's probably an app that goes with it.
Mm-hmm. And the third kind of meat thermometer I could recommend...
Yes.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, uh-oh. It's a joke about your penis or something.
Yeah. Thank you guys for laughing. Thank you.
Sometimes it's the jokes that go unsaid that are the funniest.
I couldn't agree more.
I have a meat thermometer for you. That was the joke or something like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You can let me put it this way. Mine's the Therma. The bigger one.
So,
and
wait a second.
You can read it from a mile away, Ron.
So you're telling me that America's Test Kitchen only recommended two? They tested them all and they only recommended two?
It was just the clearest of winners. But you know what? You say yours and I'll look on their website right now to see what their runners
are. I told you, I use an old-fashioned all-clad, but the ThermoWorks is the one that I have heard is the one to go with.
And they come in a ton of different colors, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So you could get like...
If you need that level of... excitement.
I would recommend getting one of those thermometers you put in your ear and just put that in the meat and and you press
If it has a mechanism, just hope that it doesn't break and the mercury gets all over you, all over your chicken.
Okay, well, Ronna, Test Kitchen has.
How come they don't have a gun one like they do now when you go into a store? No, when you go into a store, they take your temperature. They should be able to do
that
to a chicken.
Okay, so here's what they have. They have ratings on.
Brian, your frame just went bananas.
Oh. Sorry. Because I'm reading. I've been reading this entire time. I don't know what you guys have been talking about. But because, okay.
And what happens in Left Behind, in the third Left Behind book? That's what
I only read the first two.
Oh, I thought that's what you were reading during the show today.
So the most highly recommended is the ThermoWorks ThermoPen, which we said before. Their second one is the OXO Thermocouple Thermometer. Those are for digital. However, they also have a completely different rating for the thermometers you're talking about, Rana.
Right. Thermometers.
Except for actual thermometers and not instant read.
Mm-hmm. What's their favorite of that? Mine's an all clad.
I'm going to tell you right now. It's loading. But you guys each have to guess. What do you think it's going to be?
Johnson & Johnson.
Well, why aren't they in the meat thermometer business?
Oh my God, you're not going to believe it.
I got beat.
They don't recommend one of them. They said they were all failures.
Oh, well, there you go. I believe that. All right, now I'm going to get a ThermoWorks too. Let's move on to a real question, shall we? Okay. Brian, you read
this
one.
That to me was hot button, literally.
Yeah. Well, we've been... Thermometer. Okay. This has been already insane. We went through QAnon, which is make-believe.
That's
and
true.
And then we went to thermometers. Let's get to some real human question here.
Sure. Some real meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And potatoes.
Exactly.
Or meat and two veg, as the British say. Yeah.
Oh.
Langston, when you lived in Boston, where did you live, dear?
I lived in Mission Hill. I lived, at the end of the E. If that means anything.
It's, sure.
You know, of course it means something to you. You live there, but I was at the end of the E line.
But you get a good view in Mission Hill.
You do. You get a good view of a lot of bikers going down that hill and wiping out and barely surviving. It was a nice, every winter I watch people nearly kill themselves.
I know, because no one ever believes that the ice is there. They call it black ice because you can't really see it because it's the same color as the pavement. Yeah, go ahead, dear.
Is that by Cheers?
No, that's Beacon Hill.
Okay.
No, Cheers is on the, is like more downtown-ish if it, or, you know, and then
it's right off of the Public Garden, sort of on the edge of Beacon Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I've been there. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
That place is nice.
Read your question, please.
Oh, okay.
The Public Garden is definitely, I would say, my favorite public park in Boston.
It's so nice.
Yeah. They do a nice job keeping that maintained.
Dear Rana.
Make way for ducklings. That'll be one of our Rana Reed selections coming up.
Yeah. Was that a book?
It's a very famous children's book that takes place in the Public Garden in Boston.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Dear Rana, Brian, an esteemed guest.
Yes. All right.
Finally.
Okay. This time you got real credit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a 39-year-old single woman who has had some pretty bad experiences with relationships and men who are not emotionally available. Last summer... Or Summa, if Rana's reading this. They put that in there, Rana. I met a guy who manages the restaurant next door to my apartment building.
All this talk of me, I mean.
I know you're right. It's a real, we're really bullying Rana today.
Yeah. You know what? If I was of the younger generation, I would take this very personally.
I bet you would.
Yeah.
But it's all out of love, Rana, truly.
Because this generation takes everything, everything is totally personal.
Yeah. When you say this generation, do you mean your generation?
I mean even below your generation and probably below
Zoomers.
Langston's. Is that what they're called?
I think sometimes they call them Zoomers.
Instead of boomers, the Zoomers? Yeah. Mm. No. All right.
That's what I've heard. Okay.
Everything is happening to them. It doesn't.
Right.
Everything is meant for them and is happening to them. It is 100% personal.
But that's
someone
all
says
youth,
it to you.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
no,
I
think that's being young.
I think it's exacerbated by the narcissistic social media culture, which is like a funnel where everything just comes straight to you.
Well, if I had the opportunity to say every feeling I had at 16 out loud, oh boy, I'd be obnoxious too.
I would kick me out of the house is what I would
do. Fortunately, I had a basement where my mom would send me down to go deal with whatever I was dealing with.
Honestly, that's not a bad idea. Just you should have a separate room for like, go think about it.
Well, it's true. Has to take a time out anymore. Everything is, tell me immediately what you're feeling and your feelings are valid in this moment. As opposed to having to stop, process, decide how you feel and then express it.
Okay, 39-year-old single woman, bad experience with relationships and men who are not emotionally available. Last summer, I met a guy who manages the restaurant next door to my apartment building. Okay. He is gorgeous.
Yes.
After a few weeks of chatting casually, he wrote his phone number on a piece of paper and taped it to the top of my takeout. I truly thought she was going to say head. We started texting a bit after that.
It's a better story.
He's a clown who trained in Paris, and he wants to be a performance artist.
Yeah. Correct. We started texting a bit after that, and he said he wanted to get a drink with me, but it never happened. Last month, we ran into each other, and he asked if we could hang out. So I invited him to come over to watch 90 Day Fiancé with me.
Great show.
Oh, okay. Great.
One of the best, honestly. Twice
he
came
Langston?
Over.
I do all the time. I love it so much. Angela and Michael are may I say, the best couple to ever exist. And
which one is
on
Angela
the show and
Michael?
Off the show.
He's basically, she's baby girl Lisa.
Baby girl Lisa.
Angela
right.
is basically
Angela,
baby girl.
Oh, Angela's the one who has one egg from Georgia?
Yeah, yes. That she's going to tote.
Yeah, that she's like, well, that was when they went to the animal park together and he said, I really do want to have a family. So this is, you know, this is hard news for me. I'm thinking about it. And she said, well, that is not the reaction I thought you would get.
She's truly an animal.
She told him she had half an egg left and that she's going through the charade of being 56 years old. Like somehow she's going to have a child.
Well, here's what I love. And this is, I take personally, I am not a big fan of baby girl Lisa. I think baby girl Lisa is a very mean lady.
Abusive.
Who wants a slave secretly. She wants to own that Nigerian man and keep him for herself as like a housekeeper or some
shit.
Yes. But I do genuinely believe in the love between Michael and Angela. And I think that they're just both extremely unhealthy people who more than anything want to just mush into each other and create a family despite all of the ways that that's impossible.
You can't say they're not passionate.
Yes, they speak to each other in a way that so many of the other couples on the show don't even know how to communicate. They're like, there's a level of healthy communication that if you dig past all the wild, upsetting things that they say, is really fun to watch.
I love that.
Yeah, I love watching them. I have to say,
I love the relationship between the Israeli guy and the girl from Florida who were Pillow Talk.
Because they're pretty stable, right?
The other way.
I think they're really meant for each other. No, they're on Pillow Talk and they just had a baby. And he's...
they're also on The Other Way, though. Or they were
they
on The
are?
Other Way. Yeah.
Were they on The Other
Way? Oh, you said the Israeli guy and the Jewish
Florida.
Girl from Florida.
Oh, no, exactly. They were on regular 90 Day.
They were on regular 90
Day. Everyone's right except
me.
I think they totally married the right guy. I love it when they sit in bed and he brings his
He's so handsome, too.
He brings his stinky fish to eat in the bed and she tells him to get out of here. And I just think that they seem very well matched to me.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Gorgeous. Left a note on the takeout.
Yeah, she invited him over to watch 90 Day Fiancé.
But then it never came together, which I think is interesting.
Okay. No, she said twice he came over. Oh, yes, and nothing happened physically, I guess. I really thought that he might just be into 90 Day Fiancé and not me. Then the third time, he looked at me with his gorgeous blue eyes and kissed me passionately.
Hell yeah.
That was about 3 weeks ago. And since then, we've seen each other several times a week. We go on dates, and he's asked me repeatedly to stay the night, which I have refused because that's a boundary for me when it comes to friends who have sex with each other and a relationship.
Huh.
Oh, I guess that's a division for her.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll finish. And
I guess the line is like staying the night means relationship.
I think she's implying that like she wants to clarify the relationship before she commits to staying the evening with her gentleman suitor.
So I guess here's the issue. We have a 17-year age gap. I am a partner at a law firm and he is a bar manager who is applying to college. Note, men go to college later here due to mandatory army service.
Oh, okay.
I look much younger than my age due to a healthy combination of good genes, daily sunscreen, and staying fit. And he looks older than 22, so we don't look like Jenny and Sumit when we go out. But I'm still...
I love them.
I do.
Yeah, if Sumit ever learns to be honest, they're going to make it.
They're going to make it one of these days.
That's the one, the guy in India?
Yes.
Yeah. Who was about 50 and said his mother said he had to break up with her, and she's about 65.
Yeah. Right, but originally he said he was like 24 and a completely different person, and then she got there and was like, it's okay. And then he said, like, I can't wait to start a family with you, but then was like, oh, wait, I already have a family?
Yeah,
I'm
married.
Like, no problem.
And, and also my old family is going to kidnap me and take me away from you. and she still showed back up. I love Jenny. I'm a big fan of Jenny.
I really do. She's a
I wish we had talked to Langston about Big Ed and Rosemary. I want to talk about that too. But anyway.
Oh, I'll talk Big Ed and Rose all day.
And what about Dassie? How do you feel about the sisters? The show should be starting any minute, Brian.
I think they're the worst human beings on this planet Earth. I think that is an incomplete lady who has continuously put herself.
They're amoebas, those two.
Did you? Yes. Oh, God, I'm going to lose my mind.
Two cells that never should have made one person, and instead they made two.
Yeah.
And then all kinds of information got
left
out.
Boy, are you two wrong.
Like a brain and a soul.
What an empty shell of a human being Darcy is. Oh, yuck.
That breaks my heart.
Go ahead, Brian. Tell me about
She's my ride or die. I have been with her since the start of this show. I have been with her. I saw her through Jesse. I saw her through Tom twice.
Yes.
All she wants is love and for someone to love her. She's her own worst enemy.
Well, she wants to be loved, but she doesn't know how to love or what it means.
Which, Rana, that's Brian, Shakespeare.
Brian, if you were in a room with her,
Oh, I couldn't last 10 minutes.
The desperation is it's unlovable.
She's also like a She's like a Furby.
Yes.
Yes.
Just blinking.
The constant need to be told she's
pretty. What about a terrible person, Thomas?
Thomas, awful.
Oh, listen. Her men are not good people. This isn't me picking sides and being like, oh, Jesse was great. Tom is great. They're all awful. She literally cannot be 5 minutes without asking them like what they are or like why they're not telling her she's gorgeous.
Same with her daughter when she's like, let me do a face mask with my daughters. This was wonderful.
Yeah, my favorite. The first trick she pulled out of her hat was when she landed in Amsterdam when she was with Jesse in her first season, and they were driving home, and she goes, "So should we change our Facebook statuses?"
Yeah,
and they had just met, and she hadn't even FaceTimed with him before.
Right.
What do you think was wrong with Ash?
Everything. Oh, Ash is he's a liar. He's
just
like
a psychopath.
Like a narcissist and, you know, a compulsive liar. And I think the lady's name,
yeah,
but she was wonderful and probably should have been kinder to herself and walked away a long time ago.
She was like the only quote unquote normal person on that show.
No, because there was the moment where she went to her family's house before she went on the trip. She had two children that were sort of 3 and 18 months, so young children. And she went to her parents' house, and there's that moment where they're sitting on that giant sectional couch. She's explaining her plan that she's going to go to Australia and, you know, find out if this is real and if it's going to work. And her parents are just sitting there nodding and blinking and saying to themselves, how did we get a daughter that has the absolute worst? Like, here we go. Whatever this is here we go again. Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting till the day where we know we have to raise. Why don't you just leave the grandchildren here forever? Because that's what this is going to be. We're going to raise those kids. And they just sort of sit there and they nod. And you just know she has never done anything but choose the worst men and totally believe in it forever. Mm-hmm. What about you, Yolanda? I can't stop thinking about everybody now that we're talking about it.
Oh, Yolanda. I love Yolanda.
The Nigerian scammer. She had the story that took place over 48 hours.
Williams.
They stretched it for the whole season, but it took place in 2 days.
Right, yeah,
she went to get a smoothie, then she bought a ticket, then she didn't buy a ticket.
The kids did one Google search, and they were like, hey, this man isn't real. This is a fictional human being that you're falling
in hope with. She finds something, though. She was very sweet.
I do. I think she was a very nice lady who just really wanted to find love, but also should not have internet access.
No, and was still grieving 100%. The loss of her husband. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's get back to it. So she looks younger, Brian. Okay.
Okay. She's real. Okay. He looks older than 22, so we don't look like Jenny and Sumit when we go out, but I'm still really uncomfortable with the age difference. My last serious relationship ended because my ex's parents felt I was too old for him. I was 9 years older, and again, he pursued me, so I'm still pretty traumatized by that. My friends keep telling me that I'm wasting my time with a 22-year-old who is obviously not ready to be someone's life partner, something I am admittedly looking for. I don't know if I want kids, but I froze my eggs 2 years ago, so it's not a huge rush for me. But my ever-increasing age might be an issue for other men who do want kids. The thing is, he's a really kind and wonderful man who treats me with the utmost respect. Nevertheless, everyone keeps constantly reminding me not to fall for him because of his age. But isn't it stupid to refuse to let yourself go just because of a legal age gap? So what should I do? Do I allow myself to fall for this wonderful man and potentially squander the opportunity to find a partner who's in the same life stages as me and have children naturally? Or do I cut it off before I start getting serious feelings for him? Kiss, kiss, taboo in Tel Aviv. This is exotic.
Yeah. It is. There's a lot of ways this could break.
Yeah, I just don't think that a 22-year-old dude who's gorgeous and writes his phone number on takeout orders is probably going to be your forever and always. That's my guess. That probably isn't fun to hear, but like he's got some other shit that he's got to work through and like grow into. He's not going to do, you know, 40-year-old lady stuff with you. It's just not happening.
Did you grow up? I know that you're half Jewish, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Did you do a birthright trip or anything? Did you go to Israel?
No. My dad is pretty like as non-practicing as a human could be. So I didn't learn anything.
I'm only asking because I've also never been there, and I just wonder: is there, Rana? You know, is there like, are Israeli men and I. Hate to stereotype here. Are they more mature by any chance? Like, are they?
That's a fair question.
I don't know.
There's two. They're different. I will say that. And maybe they're not that different than, I don't know, Eastern European men or something like that. It is a different kind of society because you do have mandatory service, of course, but it also means something because they're constantly. It's a place where it's a wonderful place to visit and live. And it's a very vibrant and alive place as a result of this. But it's also a place that is constantly in conflict with its neighbors, wherever you fall on that. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about any of that. But that is just a fact that there is always turmoil in the Middle East. And so when you serve in the army, there is the possibility that you will be engaged in either warfare or whatever. Whereas most places in the world are not actively at war with anybody. Mm-hmm. And so even if there's mandatory service, it doesn't have the same threat or realness that it has in a place like that. So there is a lot of toxic masculinity also in that culture because you are raised to believe that you have a duty to serve the country and the society. And basically you're at war all the time. And that goes for other places as well. But we're just talking about whatever this guy might be carrying around. So part of that also is that there's often a lot of PTSD. And so a lot of these guys are a little better at not being attached. So when they date, they sort of, and again, this guy could be lovely and he could be the perfect. There are women who date much younger men and who sort of age out of men in their age group and then find somebody much younger and they just want to have a family and have a kid and they don't mind being the breadwinner. And that's just, it's going to be a non-traditional setup, but it doesn't bother anybody and it works for them. But basically, of course, there are people for whom this works. It's a small percentage, I would say. I really
especially think I think it's different if a guy is in his 30s than it is if he's in his 20s. I mean, at least the guys
really
I know.
It really has to do with who this guy is and where he's at. It doesn't really have to do with whether she's making the right decision or not making the right decision. It really has to do with, are you trying to find a partner who wants to be invested in the relationship and part of the relationship and wants the same things as you on the same timeline? And however old that person is, it's fine. That guy could be, it's really not that different if she was dating a guy that was 60 and on his second marriage, because, I mean, it's different because that's a person who wants to be committed. But it's not that different in terms of at some point you're going to enter a stage of your life where you're going to lose your husband 20 years before everybody else, or your husband is going to lose his wife 20 years before everybody else, or it's not going to work out, or you're in different life stages. If this guy's totally perfect and dying to be committed, and we really think that he is that mature, okay. But I would say there's red flags over a 22-year-old.
I think the big, to your point, the biggest red flag is the kids factor of that. Because at 22, you really have to, even if she's saying, I'm not sure I want to have kids, but there is a real possibility, so much so that I froze my eggs, then you really have to consider the fact that he might say, I wasn't planning on having kids for another 10 years. Which then makes, I assume, the ability to have kids almost void at that point for her.
I would not want to spend too much time trying to figure this out if I were her. If you think
just cut to the chase with this guy?
I think if you want to give this 6 months and see what happens, and sort of right now you have no idea who this guy is. I mean, you know, you enjoy his time, company. You're having a wonderful time. You're attracted to him. He's probably a lovely person. This could easily just be a timing situation. He has not even gone to college yet. She is a partner in a law firm. So at the moment, they're in this honeymoon phase of everybody's having a great time hanging out. It's the summer. It's sexy. It's fun. It's all of the, that's all wonderful. But my guess is this is the guy before the guy that you settle down with. And what you're going to learn from this guy is that even though all that stuff is great, the stuff you don't have in common is the part where you're building a life with another person. Mm-hmm. And that this is sort of the last gasp of the kind of dating you do in your sort of 20s and 30s. If you're a person that wants to settle down, there are people that date like this for their whole lives, and that's great. And they feel very fulfilled in their lives, and they're not really looking for necessarily a long-term partner or to move that to a family space or whatever you want to call it. And that's great if that's how you built and that's what you want to do. But it seems like you sort of know. And also, Israel is a very family-focused society, mm-hmm. which is 100%
why...
They
want you married with kids.
It's 100% why your last boyfriend's mother said, Gnug. On the old bag, who's 9 years older than my son. Oh, truly. Because in a weird way, there's something very refreshing about it, but there's also something very harsh about it, which is people get into the algorithm and the brass tacks of it, which is mm-hmm. she's 38, he's 30. Let's do the math. How many kids do they want to have? Well, then she'd have to start that right now. And that's not what I want for my son. I want my son to have a young wife and a young family and blah, blah, blah. And if that guy had been strong enough, he would have stood up to his mother and said, well, too bad, because this is who I want. And that would have been that. So that didn't really go that way. And that's fine. Not every situation is perfect. But this is a society where people are going to say to you, what are we doing here?
Langston, because, have you ever been in a big age gap relationship?
No. I tease my wife because she's a year older than me, and I make that clear everywhere we go. I introduce her as a year older than me to most people.
It's most thriller.
But that's more just to cause havoc in her life than it is.
Sure, that's a little
sure.
fun.
Sure, she talks about her young husband.
Yes. Well, she's not as proud of it as I am.
Sure.
But that said, no, I've never had some giant age gap. But both my parents have married people at certain points. My mom and dad are 13 years apart, so... It's very much possible, but it also tends... I find that an immature man is a lot harder to sort of make into a loving spouse than an immature woman is. That's my guess.
This guy has a lot of living to do. Because even though the army makes you grow up in terms of, you know, maybe your manliness or whatever, your alphaness or that heightened sense of responsibility, a hypervigilance, or whatever you want to call it, you still, now you're out of that. So you feel that you're entitled to start leaving your phone number on takeout bags and to see what the world is all about, because you're responsible from 18 to 22, or however long the service is. You have a hyper responsibility. And now he's about to start college. And whether he knows it or he doesn't know it, there's a lot of living and growing. I mean, I'm guessing he doesn't even know if he's a person who's built that way, which is responsible, wants a career, et cetera. He's got a lot of living to do between and he doesn't really need a baby probably on top of all of that at this moment.
Would your answer be different if he had taped his number on top of her head?
If she found it supremely charming, then yes. Because there aren't that many men out there that will tape their phone number to your head. And there aren't that many women that want that. And listen, so that, I'd say they were made for each other.
That's like one step behind like taking a big stick and like hitting her and pulling her back to a cave. So yeah, that seems exactly
right. If you could pull that off.
And by the way, we also know now that she's not staying at his house because he's 22. Not because he's got some fabulous apartment that she doesn't want him to think that she thinks she's moving in or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Langston.
I would love an update from her, though.
Me too.
I would say give it a couple of months. But my guess is that this is not built to last.
And if you want,
it's timing, not because you're not old, you're old or you're not gorgeous or you're not terrific or anything else. You're just in different places.
And like you said, if you want the answers about like, I don't know if he wants, just get them. Because especially if you think like.
There is another piece of this question that we're not addressing, though, which is that she's worried that she's aged out for men her age. And so I do think it's okay, of course, it's okay to date guys that are a few years younger than you or a few years older than you. I mean, anything you want. But it has to be somebody who wants the same things that you want. And it's also okay to want that on an accelerated timeline, to know what you want and to state that when you go into whatever your dating situation is.
Now, Langston, every episode, we give something away to one of the people who wrote in. And it just is a feeling, whichever person who wrote in that we really think deserves this gift or should have this gift, I guess, that's who we do this for. So, Ronna, do you want to say what we're giving away? And then I'll do a quick recap.
Well, this week we're going to do a Gold Belly gift card for people.
Okay. Fabulous.
Do you know what Gold Belly is, Langston?
I don't. I was just going to play along with enthusiasm.
Gold Belly is... Gold Belly is a website that allows smaller restaurants and bakeries and things like that across the country to send delicious food to people.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's sort of one of those sort of the most delicious thing I've ever eaten. These cookies from here, these cupcakes from Crave in Texas, these Shake Shack kit from New York. And so they kind of aggregate it all in one place and then they'll ship it out to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ronna, is Gold Belly an American company? Because that actually does determine who we're sending.
Yeah, that eliminates.
Oh, you're right. I guess we'll have to come up with something else.
Oh, we don't have to. We'll just excuse
What's an
her.
International present that we can send in case we need? Because this, let's face it, I think we know who needs this, whatever it is.
Right. We could send her.
We'll come up with, let's figure out who we're picking. And let's just say they're going to get something fabulous.
A day trip to Jerusalem, because she's in Tel Aviv.
I love that.
Yeah.
Langston, I can't believe you didn't take advantage of Birthright. It was a free trip to Israel.
Yeah, I didn't.
No one told you about it.
Yeah, my dad wasn't updating me on all the cool Jewish
But you don't have to be. You don't have to be religious. But even though your father wasn't religious at all, I am curious. Do you have wacky Jewish cousins and things like that?
Yeah, they're nice people. I don't think I'd qualify them as wacky. They're like they're all doctors and going into medicine. And I'm the idiot who decided to go be silly.
You have an MFA.
I have an MFA.
And you're a very successful comedian.
Which I think lost me money. If anything, I think that actually brought me down quite a bit in terms of my worth.
Do you feel that it's soaked into you at all? Your Jewishness is my question. Do you think culturally you're Jewish in any way?
only in ways that would offend and make people uncomfortable. I have my father's nervousness. I have I have my father's neurosis. I don't know if that's something we want to attach directly to Jews.
Do you think being Jewish informs his sense of humor at all?
I think so. I think that they're, you know, certainly the mixing of cultures obviously starts to introduce a type of comedy that, even if it's not intentional, is very funny. Of like, you know,
because you're always sort of observing, you're always a little bit on the outside of each thing.
Yes.
And so you can see it all.
Yeah, there were a lot of like sort of Hanukkah celebrations that I didn't know the words to songs on and didn't know the proper etiquette of things. And that naturally teaches you like, all right, either I'm going to be a weirdo or I'm going to make this funny.
Yes, right. I completely understand that. Yeah.
You know, it's all sort of gelling for me now. What's happening?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's funny to me that we brought on a guest who not only is from the East Coast, like you are, Rana, but who also is Jewish, like you are, Rana.
Educated on this.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, I see what's going on here. And if I'm being pushed out, I'm going to go screaming. That's all I'm saying.
Brian, you don't have to scream. You're going to be okay. This is just a moment.
Okay, fine.
The only thing, Langston and I have only discussed a very intermittent guest hosting position for him.
Yep. What?
It's not anything consistent. It's just,
what are you talking about?
It's just gonna, a try-it-out situation.
Trial run, sort of like Lynn Sanity, if that means anything to you. Just a temporary thing that'll happen for a while.
Are we doing a swap? I know your show just launched, but am I guest hosting yours?
Jeremy Lin is also going to be the first guest we have on the show.
We would love to have Jeremy Lin on the show. And now
he was
my,
a point guard that went to Harvard, I believe.
He did go to Harvard,
And he had about 4 minutes. Was he a point guard, or is he just as tall as a point guard?
No, he's a point guard.
He had about 4 minutes.
Now I'm really being excluded.
4 minutes of fame. Where he was just 3 points, 3 points, 3 points.
He had 28 games where he was one of the greatest players in the league. And then everybody was like, hey, we're going to start guarding this guy normal. And then he wasn't good anymore.
Poof. It was done.
Back to Ivy League basketball stats.
Well, you know what? At least when I, what's his name?
Jeremy Lin.
So like Jeremy Lin, at least when I shone.
I shone
brightly on the show.
That's right.
Don't worry. Lynx is way too busy with his other podcast to come guest host on us. Brian has about 6 podcasts. I don't know if you know that.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
One for each letter of the alphabet.
Podcast mogul.
That's right.
All right. So let's recap here. Now, that's a good question. If we want to give something international, let's decide who we're giving it to, and then I'm going to, for the first time ever on the fly, decide what the giveaway is.
Are we giving it to Knives? Are we giving it, Meat Thermometer, excuse me. Are we giving it to Meat Thermometer?
Mm-hmm.
My family's QAnon, and my father's Jewish, and my mother's Italian, and I'm a wreck. Do you remember that play?
Yes. Why? It's called something like, my father's Italian, my mother's Jewish, why is everybody yelling at me? But it's
something
not really
like
called that.
Yeah. Okay. So are we giving it to...
And I'm crazy.
Right. The QAnon family.
Yeah.
Meat Thermometer or age-defying relationship?
May I start? I don't
please.
Know.
Please. Yes,
oh,
yes, yes.
Okay. I personally feel that the most deserving of the three of them is the age-defying relationship.
I think you're right.
She, I think, deserves something good, even if that relationship doesn't end up being that something.
I think that's right on the money.
And I also think... I actually think this girl's at an exciting moment in her life. Mm-hmm. I know I have another friend a young friend who's about her age that this exact thing happened to. She was having a torrid affair, I'm not kidding, with an Israeli guy who had just gotten out of the army, who was starting his life. And the problem was that she started to put a little more expectation on the relationship. And what that really she needed to know about that, what that was telling her was, whether she wanted to admit it or not, she was ready for more in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But she just wasn't going to get it from that guy. And so in a weird way, it's kind of exciting because what you're finding out here is about what you really want. And so you just have to find the right person to have that with. And it's probably not this guy, even though he has wonderful qualities. Sure. It's probably just not the person that you can build that thing with.
But Rana, what are we going to send to this person in Israel?
I am going to do a little digging. And I am going to find the exact thing. Because I don't know really what's open right now in Tel Aviv and what's not open. And, you know, because of the lockdown, et cetera, et cetera.
My parents sent me a little wooden figurine from Bethlehem. Do you want me to send her that?
I don't. I absolutely don't. But if nothing else, if Manta Ray is still open, which is a fabulous restaurant right on the beach, I'll find out if they have gift certificates. And she can take herself out for a round of drinks with whoever her, not him, but with whoever her next, whoever she's had her eye on that's a little more age appropriate. And just say, right. Look, I got a gift certificate to Manta Ray. Let's go use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's like my idea. But I'll do a little digging. Or there's some fabulous places in Jaffa, which I absolutely love.
Oh,
Jaffa.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. I'll
find something good. Okay.
Langston Kerman. Please check out his new podcast. Say the name again. Please check out his new podcast.
It's called My Mama Told Me, and it's on all the places that you can listen to podcasts.
And what day does it come out?
It came out August 18th, and it's available every Tuesday. A new episode drops every Tuesday.
We come out on Tuesdays.
Well,
so
that means they can go to his first and then ours, or the other way.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry. Yes,
Brian, I like the way you think.
But
I
the love truth so is, the truth is, what they should be doing is they should be subscribing
to all of them,
and
Ron.
Then it'll be in their feed, waiting for them whenever they're ready for it, and they don't have to remember it's Tuesday, but it always comes there waiting for them.
That's right.
And I believe you're just at Langston Kerman everywhere, right?
In at Langston Kerman stuff? On the Instagram and the Twitter, and I'm trying my best to never be on Facebook again on account of QAnon.
I'm with you. So,
I will keep you posted on Pizzagate. We can keep him posted on Pizzagate if he's not going to be on Facebook.
Yes, please send me updates.
Langston,
way.
It was an absolute pleasure.
I had so much fun.
Congratulations on all your fabulous success. Excited to listen to the show. All right, terrific. Have a fabulous weekend, dear.
Thank
do
you.
Do we want to do the cliffhanger or no?
Ah!
This is easy McCheesy.
I'm out of my mind over here, Brian. I'm so sorry.
You don't have to stay for if you don't want. We just read a question that we answer on Patreon. So if you want to stay and listen to the question, you can.
No, I
want to
hear
also,
this question.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I feel like I have to go fire myself.
Don't you dare.
No, Rana, don't
Ryan
do that
and for Langston a second. Should run, do the show together. You two do the show together.
I've been saying it for years.
Ask Rana with Brian and Langston.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll just flip the logo.
It's Rana, like Papa do you John's. Read the you'll leave, but Papa John's is still, it's still got your name on it.
Correct.
Okay. Let me read this cliffhanger then.
Yeah.
Dear Rana and Brian, and it really is Rana and Brian this time because it's just us on Patreon.
I won't be there.
Langston. I'll cut to the chase. I'm a klepto. Excuse me.
All right.
By the way, spelled wrong. at least know what you are. If you're going to say something, know what you are. It's klepto with a K. Okay. No. Back in college, AKA struggle times, I got in the habit of something I ironically call white privilege battering at the self-checkouts at major chains like Target. It started off innocently, pricing the organic single-source coffee beans like store brand or accidentally scanning only one of the two bottles of soap I'm buying. Wow. However, I just turned 30 and I still do it. And believe it or not, it's only gotten worse. I've graduated to secretly ripping the tags on cheaper items and getting the fancier one, ringing up a $45 kitchen scale with the tag of a $9 one. I used to be open about it with loved ones, but have been shamed into silence because of their justified worry I'll be caught someday. For the record, I never got above items that are $50, which is the cutoff where stores will press charges if I was ever caught. Boy, this is sort of sick. After hearing Brian's story of his aunt gaslighting him into a life of crime, I felt seen. And Rana's comment about the women who steal and get the bill sent to their husbands, I felt I saw my future. I love the thrill and it quells my anxiety because for a brief moment, I'm in control of the world and I'm screwing over the system. It's a real high. So what do I do? I'm sure I could tackle it in therapy, but it's hard to not justify it in my head. Do I keep going till I'm caught and learn my lesson? Or do you two have any insight on how to kick a bad, if not thrilling, habit? With love, 5-finger discount.
Mm.
Wow.
I can already tell Langston's upset that wasn't his question. That we
I really wish
episode.
That was there instead yeah. of those the
meat oven, thermometers.
Meat thermometer yeah. things.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Langston. I apologize.
It's okay.
Well, we're going to answer
I should
that
have chosen with something more thrilling for you.
we're gonna answer that on patreon.com/AskRana. If yeah. you're not in the slammer by the time this comes out, I hope you'll listen to it. Five Finger Bandit or whatever her name was.
Discount.
Discount.
All right. Langston Kerman, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This thank was you. Such a blast.
All right. We'll see everybody on Patreon.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.